Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn. For the feeling I earn, all my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russin Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I have a trading problem.
I'm Justin Rogers, and I have a trading problem.
I am Shane Michael Manila, and I have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Trade Addicts Podcast, session 188. I'm proud to be a member of the DAP Network, the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, and a member of the DLF family of podcasts. Yeah. I'm all thrown off here tonight, but with no Russ here, I'm not used. I haven't done this in a while, but I got Justin here with me. Justin, I felt like we talked about it last week that it seemed like things were maybe returning a little to normal. We had some, it wasn't as bad last week, I think, with some of the horrible scores and things like that. And some of the guys were coming back, like Saquon. And
I'm blaming you guys for this because I know where you're going with this. It's like we regressed again.
Yes, it's horrible. And not only the scores were horrible this week, there was a bunch of low-scoring games, and everybody's getting hurt again. But as you heard, we have a great guest with us tonight, Shane Manila, who does a bunch of stuff that I'll let him plug at the end of the show. But Shane, how you doing, and what are you feeling about this past week?
Who's a great guest you have?
It's Justin.
Oh, Justin, yeah.
I mean, otherwise known as Dustin on the HQ pod.
Dustin. Yeah, I was calling him Dustin. I don't know why. It's pretty funny. I've known Justin now for 8 years, probably.
Yeah, eight or nine.
Four years, whatever. He's in the original OG HQ1 league, and I couldn't get his name right to save my life the other night on our podcast. I don't know, man. This feels like par for the course for this year, right? Like, this year has just kind of been an absolute cluster bomb. And you notice I use the
word. I appreciate cluster bomb.
It's nice. Yeah.
I use bomb because it's a family podcast, because it's on the DLF family of podcasts, unlike the HQ podcast, which is not invited to the family.
Well, not as long as Sipes has to edit out 48 F-bombs.
Unacceptable. I don't want to hear that. Anyway, this
That's
whole
why you become a patron. You
kind of been that way, right? It's what it feels like. Like, it feels like there was like 4 weeks, the first 4 weeks of the season, I was like, this is great. Like, football's back. This is some beautiful play. Like, it's awesome. And then ever since then, it's been, I have no idea what's going to happen week to week. You know, Lamar Jackson's going to throw four interceptions the same week that Jalen Hurts throws three. So generally, you know, if you have those two in your starting lineup, you're like, hey, there's 60 points from my quarterbacks. And they're like, no. You're gonna get 25 points and you're going to be okay with that. Unless, of course, you play in the Scott Fish Bowl and then you're like negative something.
Right.
Every running back is hurt. Everyone that's ever played football is hurt. Somehow Todd Gurley has still not been signed. I think it's coming, though, eventually. See, I came into the year with the whole wide receivers don't matter mantra, and that's been shot to hell.
It's been a year for zero RB people.
Yeah, like, look, man, last year wasn't the zero RB year. This year is, so they're going to crow as they should, and I'm going to jump on it late again, and just I want nothing to do with running backs ever again.
Yeah, that's Russ's mantra, just no running backs. I mean, it's so true. He said, like, I was looking at a league for, I think I was looking at my schedule for some reason, and I noticed, yeah, those first like 3 or 4 weeks when there were no buys, I had like multiple scores in the 200s, and then it's just gone to hell ever since then. So yeah it's just rough.
What it feels like is, like, every time you think you've got your lineup figured out and you got your team figured out, Like four things happen over the weekend, and you're like, I don't have a starting lineup now.
This guy gets COVID. Some guy tears his ACL in practice.
I love it because, you know, I'm in so many leagues that some leagues I have, you know, 75 points, and it's a team that's contending. And then in another league where I'm completely out of it, where I'm like, you know, 1-10, my team drops 215 points. And I'm like, what? I don't understand. So I don't actually know if I'm good at fantasy. because I don't even look at the scores anymore. I haven't done that for a couple of years. Learned that from, I think it was Scott Fish that taught us all not to do that. You enjoy football more. But like I have these preconceived notions of like I'm going to go check a league and I think I have an idea of what the score is going to be. And I go and I'm like, hey, I'm up 70 or I'm down 80. Like there's no real in between. It's fun. Yeah. It's fun. Really love it.
Oh, yeah. It's lots of fun. So we'll get into some more real fun here with this great news section we have this week. So a lot of more major injuries this week. One of the biggest being Dalvin Cook. With the shoulder to tore his labrum, I believe, after he already had, I believe, a torn labrum in his other shoulder that he was dealing with, or at least some kind of labrum injury. He's going to be out at least the next 2 weeks. I guess the thing I want to take from this is, what are you guys' thoughts on the whole Madison thing? Are you someone who's going to go out and acquire a Madison at this point? Or what do you think, Shane?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you should have bought him before this week. You're going to be paying a premium now, but honestly, it's crunch time, right? Some leagues are already in the playoffs. High kitchen sink too in the playoffs there. and some leagues, you know, you've got a week before the playoffs. Other leagues, you got 2 weeks, right? So you can get two starts out of Madison before the playoffs, or one in the regular season, one in the playoffs. I don't care at this point about paying premiums. I'm doing it. But again, the premium's what, a second? Like, you know, I'll give you a second. If you try to get too greedy and you're like, oh, but I need a first, well, then I'm not gonna do that. Unless it's a 16 team league, then all bets are off, maybe. But yeah, I tweeted it out last night or two nights ago. I'm not really sure. A small sample size alert, but Madison's averaging something like 24 points a game in the two games that Cook was out. This year, so clearly he's going to score 6 points this week,
and 20 plus touches, I believe, right, in both those games, and he's got the Lions this week,
right?
So is that what the price is for you too, Justin? Probably like a mid to high second.
I'd love to pay a mid to high second for him. I give the 201 in a heartbeat. I don't think anybody's selling for that though. You know, like I think everybody that has Madison's like, I want a first. You know, just like they did with AJ Dillon. As soon as Aaron Jones went down, AJ Dillon was, oh, he's a first round player now. You know, give me a first for him. You know, I don't care if I'm getting, you know, it doesn't matter if you're only going to get 2-3 weeks for
him. I was just going to say, which is crazy to me. I'm not paying a first for two, maybe three if you're lucky. So,
and like Shane said, the time to buy them is before this happens, you know, is to get these backup running backs before the starter goes down and you end up, you know, having to try and pay the premium. So I don't know. I might be more apt to try and go get Tony Pollard right now, although he might be more expensive. Who knows? Because people think that Zeke is going to just fall out, you know, run off a cliff this weekend.
Yeah, so, I think they may want even more for Pollard, thinking he might be, you know, be taking over the rest of the year with this news coming. You know, Zeke's got to rest and we got to split time more and he might miss a game and all that stuff. So
I don't think they bench him at all. I think they run them out there.
Yeah, Jerry says they're not.
Yeah, that's right. Jerry came out today and said, no rest for Zeke. I'm paying this guy $30 million a year. We're going to run him until he dies on the field. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but that's roughly what he said.
Yeah.
That's how I took it as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one of the other injuries this week is going to lead to my next question, which is the Swift thing. Swift is day-to-day with his own shoulder injury. But I think Campbell also said today that it's hard to see him playing in week 13. And I mean, I don't think there's a lot of dynasty, you know, fallout from it, because this, again, only looks like a 1 or 2 week injury. But I guess with both of these guys, we have like two clear backup guys that look like they're in for large workloads. So I wanted to ask both of you. I'll start with you, Justin. Like, what are your thoughts on handcuffing in Dynasty in general? Is it something you do, or just if it happens, it happens? Or is it something you prefer to have, like, especially like with, like, in Detroit, it seemed like Jamal Williams was the clear guy, although not a great offense. Madison is obviously the clear guy for Cook,
right,
especially in those kind of situations, or like a Pollard too. So
if I have a stud, like a super stud, I'm fine with it. I know that in redraft, it's frowned upon because you lower your upside. But in Dynasty, we're already talking about 25, 30-man rosters. So you've got end-of-bench guys that don't matter. So I'm good with it. I got a buddy who has – he's got Kamara. He's got Dalvin Cook. And he had Derrick Henry. Now, he had the handcuffs to all of them. Clearly, the Derrick Henry one is not working out.
No.
But he's got Madison. He had Ingram to throw out there when Kamara went down. So, and he traded for Ingram when all that went down. It worked out for him. At the same time, you end up with, you know, the Derrick Henry situation, and you end up with, you know, Jeremy McNichols and Adrian Peterson. That doesn't do you any good, you know, when they signed him. So I think there's a lot of risk involved. For me, I want all the backup running backs, not just mine, not just everybody else's. I want them all. You know, give me every one of them you can get, and I'll get two starts here, two starts there, and I'll be good. You know, that's my theory at this point. Don't even try and worry about whose backup you have. Just get them all.
Yeah, that's probably the best play. But like you said, I don't mind. Again, it's not something I actively seek out. I don't like necessarily try and trade for a guy. Like, right. I don't go try and trade for Madison before this injury, or even I don't even necessarily do it now if I have Cook. But because of the expanded roster size, there's a bunch of rosters I have, like, you know. I still have Le'Veon Bell on some rosters, and I have Jeremy McNichols on rosters and things like that. Like 30 man rosters. It's like, why not, you know, have that insurance? Like you said, redraft, most of them are like 15, 16 players. You're kind of wasting space, like you said, capping upside. But in Dynasty with so many spots, I think it makes sense. Is that where you're at, Shane? I agree too, by the way, that definitely get other people's handcuffs too, if you can.
Yeah, I prefer other people's handcuffs. I mean, the only problem with handcuffs is, you know, okay, like Justin said, his buddy, he has Mark Ingram now. Well, but if he was truly handcuffing Alvin Kamara in the beginning of the year before Mark Ingram was traded there, he had, I don't even remember who was there now.
Latavius Murray. He had Latavius Murray.
But Murray was already left for Baltimore.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't even remember.
About Tony Jones.
Tony Jones.
Come out before the season started or whatever.
Right. So, and then, you know, then there's doofuses like me that trade for Tony Jones in a league and then put him out there and he runs for 11 yards on 11 attempts. And thank God it's a PPC league because, you know, I think he got me more points for his actual attempts than the rushing yardage. I'm not going to go out of my way to handcuff. So, you know, a lot of times people send offers to you where, like, you own Christian McCaffrey. So they'll be like, oh, well, you want Chuba, don't you? And I'll be like, no, I don't. But thank you.
And that's another example of one where, I mean, Chuba was the guy earlier this year, but I'm not sure he is now. I mean, they're mixing in Abdullah even before CMC got hurt. And I don't think either guy's going to command a CMC workload.
And Amir is the pass catcher, and Amir has been out snapping Chuba. So either way, I mean, I always want the pass catching guy, right? You know what I mean? No, we're trying to figure out if that's Dontrell Hilliard. Like, and that's the one thing with handcuffing, right? Dontrell Hilliard was working at Petco 3 weeks ago.
Right.
And now all of a sudden, I mean, you know what I mean? He's like one of the top waiver ads in redraft. And even in Dynasty, because, you know, no one believed it. He was going to, after he had 11 targets, you know, everyone's like, all right, I guess I'm picking this guy up. Dante Foreman is a guy that I picked up in a bunch of leagues, but he was just, you know, I don't even know where he was 6 weeks ago.
I want the cost to be cheap, you know, like I want the cost to be cheap. In any circumstance, I don't want to pay up for a handcuff.
Right. So I want a guy like a Jamal Williams or Tony Pollard, who already has some standalone value.
Yeah.
Especially because I'm really out on running backs. I'm not paying a premium for him anymore. I'm not falling for it after this year. Never again. I'd rather have a guy like that, that if the starter does go down, well, then he picks up even more usage. But if the starter is still, you know, playing every week, he's still giving me something, you know.
I think I'm with you on that. I've always been a pretty heavy running back guy. And now that everyone's going to back off next year, like, they're all going to stay, like 80% of them are going to stay, of the starting running backs are going to stay healthy or something. And we're all going to be wishing we had, you know,
all those guys. Thing. So it'll probably present. So we'll, you know, we'll see what the market looks like. Right now I'm like, well, I'm completely out on running backs, but if I can get Jonathan Taylor for a relatively good deal, probably going to make that trade, you know. DeAndre Swift, if someone's just like, I don't trust running backs either, and they want to give them up for a little bit of a discount because get the safety of a wide receiver, I might make that deal. We'll see what the prices look like. You know,
Shane,
I mean?
You might get DeAndre Swift on a decent deal. No one is getting Jonathan Taylor on a decent deal right now.
No,
probably
he's
not.
He's Christian McCaffrey 3 years ago.
So then all you need to do is every offer you send out is just send them Christian McCaffrey's last 2 years and go, this is what you have to look forward to. Oh, you don't believe me? Well, let me give you Christian McCaffrey prior to that. Here's Todd Gurley. Oh, you don't believe me? Let me give you, you know,
David Johnson. That was.
Yeah, exactly.
Or Lev Bell or whatever.
And since we've been talking about Pollard a little bit, I'll go to one of the listener questions here, which is from at CWC Wood One, Ridley Truther, who was in the chat. I'm not sure if he still is. What are you doing with Tony Pollard? He says he's got a few shares of him on both contending and rebuilding teams. Curious what his value is right now. Apparently it's a beer. No.
Here's a problem. You're going to want to trade him, right? But what are you going to trade him for? Are you going to take a second? You're not going to take a second for him, right? Not on a, I wouldn't think on a contending team. On a rebuilder, okay, what are you going to get? Like, think about the second round of this draft in 2021 when, like, there was just guys we didn't even want to draft, but we were forced to, you know what I mean? Yep. Where after Trey Sermon, Michael Carter, and a couple other guys were pushing up towards the first round because the second round was so brutal. The one good thing about it, obviously, is a pick is fungible and it's an asset that never depreciates. You can move it around and do things. I almost feel like if you drafted Tony Pollard, this is what you drafted him for, right? You've drafted him because he gives you some value week to week and then the opportunity to step in when Zeke goes. So if you can get a first for him, even on a contender, then yeah, you got to trade him. But outside of that, I don't really see what, you know, if you can get multiple seconds for him, maybe, you know.
Yeah, the problem with Pollard to me is I don't know that he's ever going to be the guy. Zeke's tied there through next year. I don't think they can get out until after 2022. So I don't have much interest in acquiring him. I think I have him on one roster, which I think – kind of went to hell this year, so I am starting to break down now. So I'd probably look for a second plus. I'd look for a first, but I would probably settle for a second plus, maybe 2 seconds or something like that if I can get it. What about you, Justin?
I'm holding until something happens, because something will happen at some point. I'm convinced that just like any other running back, that Zeke is going to at some point miss a few games.
The problem is he never does. He missed one last year and Pollard went nuts. But other than that, he never misses games.
Yeah, but then again, Christian McCaffrey never missed games. Derrick Henry never missed games. Like, all these guys never miss games until they miss games.
And then missed just wide swaths of the season. Like, I was saying, CMC's not out one game. We're not going to see him for 6 games.
Yeah. So I think that even if I can't sell him this year, you know, I'm waiting for next year, whatever, at some point he's going to get a value boost. I don't want to sell him for a second, because I don't think that a second is enough, given that that's basically what I invested, you know. He's not losing that value unless he goes on the IR, you know. But at this point, I'm willing to take the risk and hopefully score first out of him, waiting for something to happen, you know, because Zeke is still a running back. Whether we think he is infallible or not, he's still a running back, and it's bound to happen at some point, right? I mean, yeah, I think
you would think eventually. I mean, yeah, we all thought Henry was indestructible too, and then this year happened.
No, no, so. No. You all thought Henry was indestructible. I was out here banging the drum. You guys are this dude's old and has a million carries. So,
yeah, I finally bought into the whole Henry is indestructible thing a week before he broke his foot.
Whoopsie!
So that was fun.
Yeah, when you have 9 million carries in the last year and a half, it kind of hurts a little bit.
And so we've been touching on CMC a little bit too here. He's back on the IR, season ending. And I want to get your guys take. This is going to lead to one of our trades too, but I want to get your guys take on the whole CMC thing. Cause me personally, I'm kind of like James said about running backs in general, but specifically CMC. I just want to get out of the CMC business. Basically, I'm just, these last 2 years have driven me mad, and I can't take it anymore. So
here's the thing though. We've been talking about this in a few different chats, right? In a few different of our patron chats. Go join them all if you're listening. If you're not a patron of all of them, join the other ones that you're not a patron of. But we've been talking about CMC trades all day. And basically, I mean, for sharps, I hate using that term, but his value is completely bottomed out. Like, you know, Justin, I think, shared an offer earlier in one of the chats. Maybe it was Justin. Someone did. Where basically you're getting like, I don't think you could get Deontay Johnson straight up for CMC at this point, which is just absurd if you think about like where they were at the beginning of this year. CMC feels like he's going to end up being a buy to me. And he's going to be one of those buys that I completely regret because I'm going to go, well, the price is so low, I have to do it. And then I won't get any return on it. I did a study on running backs a couple of years ago and found that they all pretty much stopped being good after the age of 25. They stopped being elite. They stopped being any good after 26.
Unless you're Derrick Henry.
Unless you're Derrick Henry, I buy into you, but then you break your foot. And I got a lot of pushback at the time because people were like, well, that's just because, you know, the current crop of running backs are really bad. Let's see what happens with this next crop, you know? And I said, okay, well, they're getting second contracts. So maybe, so now we've got Dalvin Cook, CMC, Derrick Henry. How this second contract's working out so far? Not great. Not great, Bob.
No, not great.
No, second contracts have been disasters.
Yeah.
So speaking of CMC prices, we have a Trade Addicts trade, which is actually my trade, which I feel like everyone's going to think this is too low, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I traded Christian McCaffrey for in TA9 for Leonard Fournette and Elijah Mitchell. A little background, this team is 12-0, but I've also lost CMC. I've lost Henry. I have AJB on that team. And like I said, I just want to get out on CMC. And I thought this was enough for me to do it. Leonard Fournette's in Trade Addicts scoring is the RB5. I want to kind of secure this title. I mean, I should get it. I hope I get it. I don't want to blow this. So, and Elijah Mitchell is just dominating the workload there. So that's what I was thinking. But I definitely think it's considered too low of a price for a lot of people. But I don't see a lot of people getting I tried trading him straight up for Kamara. I didn't get that. I tried trading him straight up for Javonte Williams. I didn't get that. No. That got rejected.
Yeah, now Javonte's dreaming big, my friend. You can't trade Kamara, who's less injured than CMC.
Right. For at Javonte. Least Kamara, we think, will come back. Rocky, I have a similar offer out right now. I have CMC and Jerry Jeudy out for Elijah Mitchell and DJ Moore. Yeah. Just hoping that, you know, I can get that. You know, so, like, they're just, I don't think I will. I think I'll just get rejected and no counter, and that's that. But
you just traded for two RB1s.
That's the way I look at it.
You know,
they may not have a ton of value in 2020. Mitchell
will. And, you know, it Ray GQ had a tweet yesterday or today. I forget. All my days bleed into each other. But he's basically said, you know, if Elijah Mitchell had been drafted where Trey Sermon was in the real NFL draft, exactly, he would be a no doubt about it top 12 dynasty running back. And he's right. He would be. And, you know, I'm just as biased as anyone else. Every time I look at Mitchell, I go, he shouldn't be doing this. I don't think he's going to keep doing this because he was drafted in the fifth round, you know,
sixth, I think.
Sixth. But you know what? He's a running back one for the rest of this season. Leonard Fournette's a running back one for the rest of this season. You're 12-0. You're going for a title. Honestly, what is CMC going to do for you? Like, you know what I mean? Like, would you feel better next year if you don't win the title, but you still have CMC on your roster and he gets injured again? I mean, I think the days of CMC being the running back one, the most valuable dynasty asset, they're gone.
Long gone.
Yeah, definitely in value. But I mean, I think I had a fun discussion on Twitter with Zach Reed yesterday, and because I said I basically was out on CMC in a thread, and I don't see him even giving us the production, even when healthy, that we've gotten in the past, even this year, maybe. Because what coach in their right mind is going to give him that workload, first of all, going forward? Then I don't know how you can ever think. I mean, I don't like to say players are injury prone, but how can you depend on them to stay healthy at this point?
Well, I mean, look, when running backs start getting injured, they don't generally stop getting injured. Like, I can't think of one instance where a running back missed basically two straight years and then came back and was fine. Yeah. Except for that 30 for 30 on the kid from SMU, the greatest that never was. But that's a long time ago, and we weren't playing fantasy, and I don't even remember that guy's name, Maurice something or another.
Yeah, I'm in a lot of leagues with people that are listening to this. We really need to talk up some CMC real quick, please.
If you believe in him, I'll say this. If you believe in him, right, now's the time to get him, because you hear all of us talking about how low his worth is. So if you believe in him for some reason, if you think that, you know, look, these are unrelated injuries, he should be fine next year. Yes, he's older for a running back, but he's a pass catcher. So, you know, even if they just used him as only a pass catcher, he'd still be a running back one. There's still a narrative there that you can follow.
Yeah.
It's just that, like I said, I don't know many running backs that have gone through multiple injuries to come back on the other side and then put up productive seasons.
It's not the narrative I'm going to follow. I'm out. Like, if I can get out, I'm out on the couple shares of CMC I have.
That's exactly where I'm at too. And it seems a lot of people are disagreeing. Like the thread I was talking about, where I was talking with Zach, it was actually Izzy from DTC put out a poll of, he put out a series of polls. I want to run these by you guys because McCaffrey won every one of them. McCaffrey or Dobbins?
I'm taking Dobbins. Give it to me.
That's what I said. That's what started the conversation with Zach. Because I was like, I'd be thrilled to get Dobbins in return for CMC at this point.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to lean CMC, but it's not a heavy lean.
McCaffrey or Gibson?
If I get the Gibson I got last night, Gibson.
Give me Gibson because he's on the field.
Yeah. You know, I mean, Gibson at worst is a running back two the rest of the year. So if I'm trying to win a title, I need a running back two more than I need an injured reserve. I can't start those.
Yeah, maybe the shin injury is cleared up, and that's the Gibson we're getting for the rest of the year.
His snap share and his usage have gone up since the bye. So,
and seven catches, I couldn't believe.
And you know, if anyone didn't watch the game, most of those came before J.D. McKissic was injured. They were actually designed screens to him and stuff. It was very exciting.
There was a count, like a count going on of, oh, that's the third one. You know, like
yeah.
This one I agree with CMC. McCaffrey or Jacobs?
Because Jacobs on his best day
is an RB2, like a low end RB2.
Breaks my heart.
McCaffrey or Cook?
Oh, Cook.
Dalvin?
Yeah.
I should say Dalvin, right?
How many games has Dalvin played the last 2 years?
A lot.
A lot.
A lot more than CMC.
Compared to CMC, it's like a whole career.
Yeah, I'd have to lean Dalvin. I mean, look, shoulder injuries aren't great, but they're better than, like, ankles.
Let me go acquire Madison in the offseason.
Yeah.
Yeah, that poll was 67-33, McCaffrey. I am.
Wow.
Yeah, that's...
But try doing that in your league, and let's see how that goes.
I tried to trade McCaffrey before he got injured. For a package, it was like Javonte Williams, something else, and just completely reject it. before he was injured?
McCaffrey or Zeke?
I'll take Zeke.
I hate Zeke so much.
I'm kind of getting to the point of hating Zeke too.
It's like my personal bias.
That's just Eagles thing coming through, though.
Yeah, it's like that's not fair to ask me. There's no way to be
Eagles objective. Guys over here talking. Yeah, about
I don't Zeke. Care about that though. I was majorly pro Zeke coming into the year, but he's been fine. But yeah,
I mean, he's been the same guy he was last year. You know,
pretty much.
He's still catching balls. Like the first four games of last year, when Dak was healthy, and everybody's like, "Oh, Zeke is so great," yada yada yada. His entire production was buoyed by the pass game, and it's the same thing this year. It's pass game. Can't we be happy about that? You know, he's not a great running back, like as far as between the tackles runner anymore.
I'm going CMC. You know why though? Because CMC is going to have a narrative boost when he gets a good practice report. There's nothing you can tell me about Ezekiel Elliott that's going to ever give him a bump.
That's
again.
Fair. That's fair.
Because you know, last year,
is there enough boost to be more valuable than Zeke next year?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think so. People are going to have to see like a half a season or more of CMC before they trust him again. Although apparently by these polls, folks are just ready to buy all in. They still think he must be the RB1.
It seems that way because this next one was the closest one, and it was 54% McCaffrey, which is McCaffrey and Kamara, which I think we all said, you know, Kamara.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and Kamara scares. I mean, before this knee tweak, like Kamara's been pretty healthy. You know what I mean? He's like had a concussion here and there,
a high ankle sprain last year, but nothing.
Yeah, you know, nothing chronic and nothing that you know. He didn't tear anything. Although I guess technically a sprain is a tear. If anybody's a PT listening, they can correct me. Yeah, I'm going Kamara.
And then the last one was one we also kind of talked about, which is McCaffrey and Javonte.
Javonte.
Yeah. I think Javonte is going to be nice next year.
Yeah, I'm trying.
I agree.
I've been trying to get Javonte in a few different leagues, like for just older running backs, like Kamara straight up, and I can't do it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'd do that, and I'm fine with it. So, CMC, no doubt.
I think his value is baking in the Melvin Gordon departure already.
Right.
Yeah. You know,
like people are already like, oh, I got an RB1 next year.
Because
he looks so good when he's on the field.
I was just going to say, anybody who's watched him, he just looks right. Like a beast. Like at least a couple times a game, you see him dragging tacklers.
20-yard, 30-yard plays every game. Yeah, he looks explosive, which is not what you expected out of the guy off metrics. You're like, okay, well, he's a big, kind of slower guy. No, he's ripping plays off.
And yet that one is 61-39 CMC. Twitter is much different than most of the leagues I'm in, apparently.
You know, this is Twitter just like it is the mock drafts that you see. Like, it's easy to click that when you're not having to actually do it. But put that offer in someone's inbox and they're like, I can't trade Javonte for CMC. You know, that's just not happening.
By the way, Justin, just to tie up the whole CMC thing, I do have CMC in DDCL if you want to try and buy him cheap. Give me I'm not sure where you're at there. So
I just got eliminated from the playoffs, I think.
Okay. I'm heavily competing, so if you want to give me some competing pieces, throw something out there. okay, so what else do we got? Debo, groin injury, out a couple weeks. I guess, are you guys, I mean, this doesn't have to do with the injury per se, but are you in on Debo?
I was, and then as soon as I bought in on him, he's like, guess what? Guess he's injury prone. This guy.
I am.
He's got two thumbs and is injury prone.
Like, come on, man. Like, all year, I'm like, no, I'm not going to believe it. I'm not going to believe it because Debo gets injured. He gets injured. Goes back to high school. You know, the dude is flat out injury prone, and then he's just a beast. And then Kyle Shanahan, being the doofus that he is like, I'm going to tempt fate and give him running back carries.
Running back for this week, right? Yeah.
Like, dude, okay, I get it. When Mitchell was out, Mitchell was back. There was literally no reason to be doing that again this week. Also, you drafted a running back in the third round. You might want to play him instead of Debo at running back and getting him injured. But as far as, I'm
going to the IR, so apparently, you know, he already did that to him.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, Debo, you know, we thought, all right, well, what's going to happen when Ayuk, Debo, and George Kittle all play together? And Debo showed that basically I'm going to do whatever I want on the football field, and I am the alpha on this team. Thanks for playing, Brandon. You will be a nice wide receiver too. George, I hope you don't like targets because you're not getting them anymore. It's hard not to be all in on Debo right now.
What's crazy, though, is that Debo's targets went down the last couple of games with all of them together. But it didn't matter because he was a running back.
Yeah, because and that's what I was going to say, because they're using him as a running back, which, again, I'd rather just give him targets. I don't know why you're doing it, but whatever.
Right.
Kyle Shanahan's a genius, so whatever.
That's the word on the street. You guys know
I guess you must be in on Debo because I know you're not in on Ayuk, Justin.
Oh, yeah. No, I like Debo. I think Ayuk last year was Debo light from his first year. Like, he did the same similar things. And then when Debo's back in the lineup, Ayuk's relegated to regular, you know, okay, here's your four or five targets a week kind of guy. He's not getting all the gadget plays. He's not getting all the runs and stuff that they want to give Debo. So, yeah, I'm down with Debo.
Yeah, and yeah, it took me a while. I'm kind of like in the same boat I think that Shane was. It took me most of the season to find, okay, yeah, Debo's for real. And then he goes down and gets hurt again. But luckily for I only have one share of Debo when it's on
a
team.
Just a couple of weeks, I think we should all be happy, because missing a couple of weeks in the NFL is like, you know, the greatest report ever. Like, oh, they're missing a couple weeks. Cool, you know?
Well, here's the thing. But also, that doesn't mean anything, because we've had like three different players where they're like, oh, he's week to week. They wait a week, and then they're like, yeah, we're going to put him on the IR now. Like, you're like, yeah, wait, yeah. What just happened?
CMC's first injury, I think.
Michael Carter. I mean, that's what happened. They waited a week, but then he's on the IR. Miles Sanders, it's like, no, he'll, it's a sprain, but he should be okay. Psych, he's on the IR. You're like, wait, what are you doing to me, guys? I used the word psych in 2021, by the way.
Your kids would be so proud.
I enjoyed that, Shane. I'm actually older than you, so that fits right in for me. So
I'm the youngster on the pod tonight.
At 40?
And give me a few weeks now.
Sorry.
Jeez. Already pushing on me like that.
The one non-injury piece of news we have on the sheet here is Taysom Hill coming back to a starting position near you at quarterback. So what do you think, Justin? Do you have any interest in acquiring Taysom Hill? Let's say if you're contending, because I like Taysom Hill for Taysom Hill. I don't like him for the rest of the offense, but Taysom Hill scores himself some fantasy points.
Yeah, I mean, can I get him for 2 seconds? Sure. In Superflex, do I want to pay a first for him? No, because I don't think he has any future. But if I want that stretch run,
but Justin, they gave him that contract.
Yeah, and they're going to try and play him at every other position, so they don't have to pay him $95 million or whatever it is. They'd much rather probably pay him the $40 million. So, look, your buddy Andrew was on Twitter saying he didn't believe that. I think it was Andrew. It might have been somebody else, but was saying. That he didn't believe he was going to be starting, and that if he did, he wasn't going to start the whole game or whatever. I'm like, man, look, if they put him in there, they're not going back to Trevor Siemian. There ain't no way.
They
have to be done with Trevor Siemian. He's
got
to be.
There's no upside there. Yeah, like, there's absolutely nothing they can do with that offense that's going to help them. Whereas, I don't think Taysom Hill is a great quarterback by any means. But at least he is a little dynamic. You know, he can do some of the gadgety stuff that Peyton likes to do. He doesn't have to be plugged in and out. The question is his foot good? You know?
Yeah.
Is he healthy enough to play? Because he sure hadn't been seeing the field.
Yeah, I think he is now, or I think that's basically what the only holdup was.
Right.
Just looking at his rushing attempts when he was a starter last year. He's got a couple games with 10 and 14. So... Yeah, no, I love him as a fantasy asset. I'm not giving you a first for him, but I will give you many seconds if you will accept those.
Let me ask you, I guess particularly if you're contending, because it's an easy answer if you're rebuilding, and say you had Taysom on your roster. I do have one roster like that myself, where I just had him sitting there from last year. Are you looking to sell immediately at this point with this news?
Let him play a game. Let people remember that he puts up 25 points when he plays.
Let people remember he's Jalen Hurts, you know, minus the interceptions.
Yeah.
So as a contender, you don't want to keep the found quarterback. If you're contending, you didn't apparently need Taysom Hill to contend. So, yeah.
Yeah, I probably have three. I got to be honest with you. Taysom Hill was probably my quarterback four.
He was your tight end three is what you mean.
Yeah. And, yeah. I'll trade them all day.
And, okay, so we'll move on to the trade addicts. Actually, we have one listener comment more than a question, but I just wanted to mention something here. Larry's apparently listening to the pod, but not really listening to the pod.
Mm-hmm.
Because he put in the chat, he sent me a trade in the GDCL, and it was Josh Jacobs for Christian McCaffrey. The one thing we still said, no, we're not doing that.
Not a chance.
Nailed it, Larry. Nailed
no,
it.
Thank you.
Like I said, we got a bunch of trades here. And we did one of the listener questions. The only other thing we got in the tweet we sent out today was our friend Mike Bauer at Rewind CEO said, ask Shane about Dippy Eggs.
So apparently people in, I guess, that North Pennsylvania, I don't know, Allentown-ish area where Michael's from, they call over easy eggs Dippy Eggs. I've never heard that before either, and it sounds rancid. Like just describing it, like eggs, like dippy eggs. I was like, wait, you're just dipping bread into raw egg? Like that's not good. Like I know he's in the Rocky movie, he drank egg.
No. Dipping eggs into dipping bread into over easy eggs is awesome.
No. But the first thing that came to my mind is just completely uncooked eggs, like just cracking open the shell. And just dipping bread right into the
like
right
having edge. A half shell of egg, and you're like, no, man, that might.
Yeah, not but be apparently good. It's over easy eggs for people in whatever part of Pennsylvania Michael is in. I assume it's still southeastern Pennsylvania because it's only an hour from here.
Okay, so we'll get into the trades. Just a reminder: Trey Addicts trades 12 team. Super flex, 1.75 tight end premium. All the leagues except TA1 have 0.05 per return yard. That may matter on a few here because there's like nine of them. So, Trade Addicts 1, there is one trade, so the return yards don't apply, but it's Kadarius Toney for a 2023 first.
First.
Yeah. If I can get it first for Toney in any year, I'm doing it right away.
Yeah. Yeah, can I get 2026 first? Sure, fine. Sounds good.
Are you guys complete non-believers in Toney, or just you know he's just the first is worth more? I obviously, but
yeah, I would take.
I think Toney can be fine.
Go ahead. There's guys that I believe in that I would give up for 2023 first, and I think Toney in those two games he looked like he was going to be an absolute stud. Now, obviously, he can't play football without getting injured every week, so that's disconcerting. But really, it's more about the pick than Toney.
Yeah, I'm with you both. So TA3, we have a couple of bigger trades than that. First one, Dalvin Cook. And I guess since we're recording on Tuesdays now, I should mention almost every trade on here. I think there's one I'll mention that was not made prior to the week. But this was made prior to the week because – this is kind of funny. It's Dalvin Cook and AJ Green for Debo Samuel and Rob Gronkowski. So one guy on each side got hurt after this trade was made. But Justin, which side are you taking on that one?
I'm trying to win, right? Trying to win? Okay, give me the Dalvin Cook, AJ Green side.
Ah, see, because I think the Debo Gronk in the TA league is more valuable with that tight end premium there. And I feel like Gronk's going to have a big week last week.
Yeah, Gronk's been real. I think in every full game he's played, except that the one he left, he came in and played the back spasm. But every other game, he's. I think I heard Ryan McDowell mention on the DLF podcast today. He's been a tight end 9 or higher in his four full games.
Okay, I can't lie. I didn't realize he had been. I knew he had been catching a few touchdowns. I didn't know that the catches were there for to be that significant in a tight end premium. So.
Yeah, and I mean, in this last game, he went 7 for 123. He's looking right. Kind of like the old Gronk all of a sudden.
He does, and that's one I did not see coming because he looked washed his final season in New England, and I'm like, there's no way this dude took care of his body with a year off, and oops.
And yeah, I think I would go in this one. Both teams actually, yeah, we're competing. And I think I would take the Debo and Gronk side, assuming health for everybody. Like you said, that 1.75 premium is a lot. And like you said, we finally bought into Debo. So of course he gets hurt.
Yeah. Right.
And yeah, I mean, you're getting two really solid pieces, and the other side, you're getting Dalvin Cook and a guy you can maybe hope for a flex game when you need it.
That's fair.
Yeah. So I would go with the Debo side myself. So the other one, this one was actually me, and I am not competing in TA3, but I am the sixth seed. I started off the year trying to compete, and I apparently scored too many points where I am now currently still the sixth seed despite selling. So I traded Antonio Gibson, Antonio Brown, Mark Ingram, and Evan Ingram for J.K. Dobbins, Michael Carter, and Darrell Henderson. There's a lot going on there.
So yeah, you're really just like bailing on the sixth seed altogether.
Oh, yeah, you're, I don't want it.
The sixth seed looked good, but I'll just...
I made this trade before this week, and I'm still the sixth seed, by the way.
I'm just curious why Darrell Henderson and Michael Carter on a team that you're looking to the future for.
Well, Henderson, I forget who the other running back was. He offered me.
Shane, Rocky hates Cam Akers.
That's true. I think he has more future value, but I also figured I could maybe flip him. Henderson, and I also like Carter way more than you do, Shane. I know he's a day three guy. I liked
all of them. I've come around on him. I don't think he's the worst football player in the league.
Shane started trading for him, and then he got hurt. That's probably what happened.
Of course.
So I think he's at least league average. So I can work with that.
And yeah, Henderson was more of a – I forget. He sent this to me, and he offered three running backs. And he doesn't have a lot of younger receivers on his team. He's heavily contending, and he's got a really old team. And he had these three guys, and I figured Henderson is maybe a guy I can flip to another contender. There's no trade deadline in Trade Addicts League, so maybe even as we get into the playoffs, if I have to wait that long, I could flip him to somebody else. But like I said, if I do get stuck with him, I do think he has more value in 2022 than some people think, but not what he's doing this year, no.
Yeah, I'm a big Henderson guy. I love Henderson. Like, before the year started, I touted him as a top 12 running back. Obviously, after Akers got hurt, not before that, because then I would be psychic. And I wouldn't be spending my time doing podcasts at 10:30 at night. I'd be somewhere where rich people are. Yeah, and I think there's definitely going to be a split there next year. I mean, he's earned at least that. So, but okay, I was just curious.
Yeah. So, which side you taking?
Oh, I'd still take the Gibson side. Gibson. I think Gibson's no. I mean, value wise, I guess it is J.K. Dobbins, Henderson, and Carter.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I'm getting.
I was just really happy to be able to get out A.B. Ingram and Ingram.
Yeah.
Because right. I'm, like I said, I'm not competing, and it's not easy to get anything for those guys at this point because A.B.'s not playing.
Yeah.
How long do we think A.B. plays for? Like, apparently his second career is going to go pretty darn well so far. Maybe it keeps on going. Obviously, we don't feel any confidence in Mark Ingram, and Evan Ingram is dead in the water, at least until he gets a value boost when he signs somewhere else. But, I mean, if this is J.K. Dobbins – I mean, if this is Antonio Gibson and you get Antonio Brown for two more years, does that make you feel a little bit better, Shane?
Yeah. No,
the same.
I'm sorry. I feel like you should have broke up those pieces and traded them. But again, that's me looking from the outside and saying, well, this is what I would have done, knowing that damn well, look, sometimes that just isn't possible in leagues. Like, right. People aren't going to basically.
That said, that, I mean, what are you getting for some, like, Mark Ingram and Evan Ingram? What am I getting breaking them up? Like, a third?
Yeah, that's true. It's just the Antonio Gibson part that really hurts me.
Yeah, and I'm a big Gibson guy, too. I actually acquired him in this league right before the season trying to contend, and it just didn't work. And, although I am the sixth seed. I lost Ridley in that league and a couple other guys. So, and it was just a shallow roster. So I just decided I'm not totally breaking it down to the studs or anything like that. But that's why I didn't mind getting the running backs either. If I was truly rebuilding, I probably would have shot for a wide receiver for Gibson or something like that. Did you say, Justin, which side you would take there?
I want the J.K. Dobbins and Henderson and Carter side. Because I don't care anything about the last two pieces on the top. So, right. And I don't know how good I feel about Antonio Brown going forward. I think Dobbins can be basically what Gibson is right now. You know, they're kind of the same dude. If Gibson, I know Gibson got, you know, an ass load of targets. Sorry, Russ, this week, but that one can go through. It's fine. But I don't know that he's getting seven targets or seven catches a week, you know. I think it'll be back to 2, 3, 4 catches.
I think Russ is okay with ass, by the way.
I think so.
It's the
favorite word we can't use.
And that was my exact thought because I did it before this game happened, is that that they are kind of the same guy because they refuse to throw to Antonio Gibson. And I equated them pretty similarly, and I thought the rest of it was worth more than Antonio Brown, Mark Ingram, and Evan Ingram. So that's why I did it. But we'll move on to another trade here. TA8 we're going to go to. TA8. Mm-hmm. This was a big one. DeAndre Swift and Darnell Mooney for Jonathan Taylor.
What do you think, Shane? I'm letting you go because I see that sigh.
Taylor's running so hot right now, right?
So hot.
It's like he's a supernova.
Does this feel like selling high on JT, or does it feel like you're getting the right value?
Feels like – so JT has moved into that realm of no matter what I sell and trade him for, I'm not going to feel like is enough.
Right.
And whatever I think is a fair value is going to be too much. So this is probably fair value. Because, I mean, is DeAndre Swift – like, they're both top five running backs. One just happens to be the RB1, right?
Right. Yeah. I think this is two of your top three running backs.
Yeah, and that's –
Najee Harris being the other, in my opinion. Like, you got those three guys, and then there's a gap.
Yeah, I mean –
it's still a gap between JT and Swift.
It's a pretty big gap. It feels like you should have gotten more than Mooney, and I like Mooney.
Mooney's fine, but what happens if the Bears bring in another wide receiver?
They have to.
They have to because
Allen Robinson.
I don't think he's destined to be the wide receiver one on the team.
So. No, I don't see him getting 16 targets. I think he's a nice piece. But I got a feeling like this season's his ceiling, which is, you know, that's fine. Like I thought he was a wide receiver three, you know what I mean? And maybe his ceiling's wide receiver two, which is still great, but I don't know. Wide receiver two. Like, I feel like you got to give me Swift and more. Like, I almost want Swift and a first.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Like, I think when you're talking about, you know, Swift is JT's probably a middle of the first kind of guy in a startup, and Swift is a early to mid second kind of guy.
Yeah.
And so when you think about it, you're like, what am I going to take? And I, you know, it's not always, you know, using startup value is not always equitable.
Right.
At the same time, there's got to be something that gives you that. Yeah. Let me move up or let me move back. You know, like, okay, well, if I'm going to move back, I need this. And I don't think Mooney is enough to move back. You know,
yeah.
Mooney is enough to drop from JT to Swift. And I love Swift. You know, he was my RB1 coming out that year. So, but clearly JT is the real deal, and his role in the offense is well established. You know, I mean, he's on a heater of all heaters right now.
Except for when they go 27 plays without giving him a handoff
yeah,
or whatever.
But then at the end of the game, they redeem themselves. And
like, oh, wait a minute. Yeah. What are we doing? We got JT here. Yeah, you know, you got to look at JT like CMC at the height of his powers, at Todd Gurley at the height of their powers. Like, that's what he is right now.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm kind of with you, Justin, there. I have Swift maybe as my RB2 in Dynasty, but I think there's a big gap between Taylor and Swift, between Taylor Swift. So
that was Matt Williamson's favorite joke during the entire offseason before last
year's draft. I know it was. So yeah, I mean, I would easily pay Mooney to go up from Swift to Taylor. So
you know what the difference between JT and those guys is? Is that both of those guys had a second year kind of like CMC and Gurley. They both had like a second year lull,
yeah,
because of Jeff Fisher or whatever. And CMC, I mean, JT has just continued to ascend.
Yeah.
So now he's 22 and he's the RB1. He's not 23 or 24 and the RB1. So he's got some built in insulated, you know, value. Like if he, I don't want to say it, but if something happened to him and he were to miss an extended period of time, like 9 months, I think that
pregnant,
he got
pregnant.
I don't. Well, maybe. Yeah. that's the recovery time for a particular injury that's common amongst running backs that I don't want to speak about.
Jinx it.
Pregnancy. Yeah.
But if he were to miss that, I think he still comes back as the RB1. You know, he's younger than Najee. He's about the same age as Swift. And the production on the field is absurd right now. And people are going to remember that. They're going to remember.
So. Yeah, and he's not in, like, an amazing Chiefs-like situation, but he's certainly in a much better situation than, say, Najee or
he's in a better situation than the Chiefs. What are you talking about?
Yeah, because he doesn't have a Tyreek Hill there and a Travis Kelce.
True.
That you have to involve. Like, Michael Pittman's a very nice player, but I can feel confident. Like, I can feel confident knowing that the Colts, they don't need to get Michael Pittman 15 targets. You know what I mean? Jack Doyle is not going to get 10 targets. Those guys are the ancillary pieces right now. They're all just, you know, rotating around the sun that is JT. Yeah.
That's exactly where I was going to go.
Man, right, and that's a good point. I was just and I guess maybe it's not even fair to use the Chiefs as this anyway. I just meant he wasn't in, like, an amazing offense at this point. But
no, but he, you know what? That line even though it's dealt with some injuries, you know, this is what we said when he was drafted, right? Yeah. We were like, dude, him behind this line is going to be sickening. And then, you know, whatever, they used Nyheim Hines way too much last year and a little bit too much this year. And then finally something happened and they were like, oh, wait a minute. No, stop using this little gadget player when we could use this guy that can rip off 70-yard runs.
Yeah. Oh, there's this guy that runs 4.39 and had – you know, a million rushing yards in college. Let's see if he can do this in the pros. Oh, okay. Looks like he can.
Yes. It's about time they figure that out. So this is another TA8 one, and I'm going to just lump this in with a couple ones from the only ones we have from TA7. There's all these sort of baby trades for these ancillary running backs we were talking a little bit earlier. Deontay Foreman and DeAndre Carter for 2022 fourth is the TA8 trade. And then in TA7, Dontrell Hilliard for a 2023 third. Mm-hmm. And then I guess the highest ranked guy, Chuba Hubbard, for 2023 second and 23 fifth. Do you guys, I guess I was wanted to ask, do you guys try and make these kind of trades? Like, do you care about paying a third for a Dontrell Hilliard or a Deontay Foreman?
No, this is why, you know, when we talk about trades and we're always like, try to get a pick thrown in.
Right.
This is why. This is for that time of year when it's like, all right, give me this running back that's going to give me one start, two starts, and I will give you a third round pick because a win right now is way more valuable to me than some random third round pick. So now I love those trades, except for the Chuba one. That's a little.
That's what I was going to say. Except the Chuba one. Chuba's lost his job. I think Abdullah has taken his job.
I think it's going to be a timeshare. Sure. I think Chuba will see most of the rushing attempts, if not all of them. But Amir's going to see most of the passing work, which is what we really want. And then Cam's going to see the goal line work. So we're going to have to hope that Chubbuckin,
which means you're not even going to see the limited upside that you saw earlier this year when CMC was out. Because Chuba had it pretty much to himself at that point. I guess the other thing, I'm looking at this now. Do you guys have a preference of, you know, we all talked about AP versus McNichols when Henry went down, but now it's Horman.
Yeah, all right.
Horman. You know Horman.
Yeah. Foreman versus Hilliard.
It's D'Antrell Horman.
I'm leaning towards Foreman.
Hilliard's the pass catching guy, though.
Hilliard is the pass catching guy. But it's just interesting. They were in a very bad game script last week and didn't throw any passes to him. And, you know, his 61-yard run, all props to him. He got the touchdown. But that was, like, at the end of the half when no one, like, was even paying attention anymore.
Yeah, that was that QB draw to run out the clock kind of thing, and he scored.
Yeah. Which, look, he's fast, man. I didn't remember him being that fast, but
he made some guys look silly on that run.
Yeah.
Like, no, they thought they had the angle, and then they all of a sudden didn't, you know?
Yeah, but now I'm gonna go with Foreman. You can have Hill. What were you calling him? Dillard?
Foreman?
Darman?
D'Antrell Foreman.
Yeah. D'Antrell Darman.
And probably the answer will end up being none of them when McNichols comes back from
his then all of a sudden they'll
and screws everything up.
So who are you taking, Rocky?
I would rather have Hilliard, but I actually paid a fourth for Hilliard in another league that is not on here. So,
and see, a fourth for any player that's actually seeing the field is a W. Like,
yeah,
who the hell cares about a fourth? What am I doing with that? I'm drafting
Hilliard, and
that kind of player. Like, who cares?
If Hilliard gets five carries the rest of the year, I could care less that I lost that fourth. It's
right, exactly. Most likely, the guy you draft in the fourth doesn't see five carries for his career. So
correct.
Whatever.
Yeah. And if he does, you know when he's going to do it? After you trade a fourth for him 3 years from now.
So, sticking with the Titans, I guess. I believe this was also TA8. It was Derrick Henry for James Robinson.
Look, I get the James Robinson, right? He's another one that he's playing right now. He's not 27 years old. He's not coming off four straight seasons of 500 rushing attempts. He can help me win a title now. I mean, I hope Derrick Henry can come back next year and do that, but no, I'm good with that trade.
Me too.
Yeah. Yep, me too. I have, like I mentioned, in that I still have Henry in that TA9 where I traded McCaffrey, and I would do this if the James Robinson manager wanted to send him to me. So yeah, and I think he's not going to be, doesn't look like he's necessarily going to be quite as good as he was last year, but he's still, I think, low end RB1. He's still a little banged up, I think, from the knee.
And somehow he's on a worse offense than he was last year, which
I
thought was impossible.
and I still think he's another guy, kind of like Henderson, a rich man's Henderson. I think he still has value next year, even though people, you know, want to say ETN is still going to cut into his work. I think after 2 years of producing the way he's producing, he's going to be the lead guy. It's not going to be 80, 90% him, but he's going to be the lead guy.
He's earning touches is what he's doing, you know? Yeah. And that's what, you know, Peter Howard would be so proud of us for talking about earning touches and earning targets. So,
do you earn touches, though? I know you earn targets.
Or do you have to earn some touches.
You just fall in the touches when you're the only healthy guy in some cases.
But when ETN comes back, he'll earn them.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think he's definitely 1A. ETN will be 1B, and they'll misuse him the same way they misuse LaVisca Chenault, probably.
Do you think Urban makes it to next year?
He doesn't seem to want to go away. They asked him about Notre Dame. Like, I think the Jaguar press corps was kind of like, dude, you know Notre Dame is open. Like, that's your dream job. You've said it. Like,
isn't that what you want to do?
Yeah,
do you want to do that? Like, somewhere someone's playing like subliminal messages outside his window, like through the glass, like, and they're like,
no, I want to stay here and turn it around. I hope he gives up over the offseason. I hope, but I don't think so.
Can he like screw up one more time and we can just be done with him?
Caught in another bar.
Yeah, I don't think his wife's letting him out anytime soon. So no, I don't think we're going to be lucky enough for that to happen.
That dude's on a leash. She's like, you are not messing up this multi-million dollars that you're making us.
Like, she's like, she's already thinking about the alimony because there's no way she's not divorcing that scumbag.
She's probably not worried about him at all. She's worried about that paycheck.
Exactly.
Are you guys blaming Lawrence's season on Urban or just being a rookie? Or and if it's Urban, what does that mean if he doesn't leave?
I'm on the both train. He's not been great. He's looked like a rookie. Yeah, I mean, he just looks straight up like a rookie. And I'm highly invested in him, so I hope. But I'm not blaming it all on Urban Meyer. I mean, you have to do some things out there that are different, you know, that are that give you the flash of exceptionality. And he hasn't done much.
Like, the play calls might suck. The scheme might suck. But if a wide receiver's open, he's still open. And if you miss him, you still miss him. That's on you. That's not really on your you know, especially when you're not being pressured. That's on you. That's not on your coach for calling a shitty play. Like, you still got to hit the guy that's open 6 yards down the field, even if it's a stupid-ass play. It is a little concerning because no matter what the answer is, because if it is Urban, but Urban's back next year, great. If it is Trevor, well, what's going to change next year? You know what I mean? He's going to be second year. I mean, we underestimated how bad that team was, maybe we underestimated just how bad that offense is. You know what I mean? When they lost DJ Chark, they lost their true legitimate. He might not be a wide receiver one, but he was their wide receiver one. And he was the closest thing they had to a legitimate one.
And then Jamal Agnew on top of it, Shane.
And then you lose Jamal Agnew and then Dan Arnold. So I'm concerned, but
what do you moved off of Dan Arnold just in time.
You traded him away, to our buddy Jake.
Sorry, Jake. He's in the chat or was earlier. Yeah. Whoopsie.
So if people are getting down on him off of this season, are you buying him low in the off season or trying to buy him low in the off season?
Yeah.
Even if Urban's still there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I agree. I still have him as my QB1 from this class. I'm not letting 10 or 11, 12 games, you know.
Look, we saw what he did in college, right? That wasn't a mirage. Yes, he had great weapons. He had great offense. But there's been plenty of college quarterbacks that have had those things and didn't look like he did. You know, he just there's a reason that he was touted like in the annals of Andrew Luck and Peyton Manning. You know, I'm willing to give the guy at least 2 years before I'm like, all right, I guess that's it.
Plus he's got that hair, so.
Yeah, and the hair is beautiful. Maybe he should cut it. Maybe that's what he should do, though.
Samson.
Nope. I'm just saying, if he cuts it, and he's like, all right, I'm switching it up. I'm going to have a fade next year or whatever the kids
if he comes in with like a little faux hawk next year, I'm out.
In like Gardner Minshew.
Oh, I'm in. I'm in. I'll carry his jockstrap for him with my mouth.
Yeah.
Okay, we got a few more here. Next couple are from TA9. 2023 first for Rob Gronkowski and Logan Thomas. I get the premium. I will say I'm not a big fan of sending a first for two guys, neither of which is worth a first, just to make, you know, to make up for the fact that you're sending a first. What do you think, Justin?
Okay. These two guys have a combined age of 62 years. I'm not giving a first for that. I know it's TA. I know the 1.75. But no. Man, these dudes are old. They're dusty. Like, I know that they're producing, but I'm just basically throwing my future away for this. I think I could spend my first in a different way.
Yeah, we talked about how good Gronk has looked, but he's still not worth a first at 31.
And you hit the nail on the head, too, and you said I'd rather trade them, you know, that pick for one singular guy. Because basically what I'm doing is, okay, who's Logan Thomas starting over now? So his 9 points replaces the 7 points I was getting from someone. Right. You know, at least Gronk.
One player doesn't make a big difference.
Right, Gronk is probably an upgrade of, you know, he's probably going to give you 17 points over the guy that was going to give you 9, which is a pretty good boost. But yeah, no, I really want the hammers. Like, that's when I'm giving up firsts, like, I'll give up a first and a player for a hammer.
Huge upgrade. Exactly. Yeah. That's how I want to use my first as well. Yeah. I don't want to use my first to get a couple tertiary pieces.
No.
Like, especially
these guys are decent.
That 2023, which we all know is pure gold. So
right.
And I just want to say too, I do like both these guys. I just don't want to give up a first.
No. Yeah, I'll give you a couple seconds in a TA league and a tight end premium league, but you're not getting a first. Like, if you want to believe that two firsts or two seconds are worth a first, like, we can do that.
Yeah. Okay, and this last one was Russ, and this actually happened today. Javonte Williams, Rashad Bateman, and a 22 first for Nick Chubb, Ezekiel Elliott, and Mike Evans. Clear kind of contender, non-contender deal. Justin, what do you think on that one?
I want the youth. I want the youth. Chubb's 25 now, isn't he? Isn't that right? And Zeke's 26, something like that?
Zeke is definitely 26. I believe Chubb's 25, yeah.
Man.
And Evans, I think, is 28.
You guys looking around the league at all these 25 and 26-year-old running backs?
Not great, Bob.
Not great. It's scary. I'm legit, like, I'm tilted after this year. You know, I'm straight up want to be out on all these guys for the most part.
And Chubb to me, too. I like Chubb, but he's that guy. I mean, he's like what Derrick Henry was before last year, where he's when he gets some touchdowns, he's great. But then sometimes he'll run 22 for 110 and get you 11 points or 18 for 88. And, you know, he still has a good day. He runs for like 5 yards a carry, but it's 8.8 points.
Chubb may be the and this is going to hurt a lot of people. He may be the most overvalued commodity in fantasy because he doesn't give you that elite production at the running back position, but he's valued like he's the elite of elite.
Yeah, he doesn't catch the passes, and Kareem Hunt vultures his fair share of touchdowns.
Well, Kareem Hunt's a better running back, so there's that. I said it. What?
That's crazy. That's just crazy talk.
Better fantasy running back or better NFL running back?
I think he's a better all around running back. And, guys, I'm a huge Nick Chubb fan. I really am. Like, when he and Michelle coming out, I said there was no comparison. The Chubb was far better than Michelle. And then the athleticism thing stuff came out. It's like, oh, yeah, everybody loves Nick Chubb now. But still, I think he's just a better running back. He's better in pass pro. He's a much, much better receiver. And he runs the ball almost as well as Chubb does. I think he's just a better running back.
Chubb's an underrated receiver, though. It's just that they choose not to use him like that. Yeah. We saw that since his rookie season. Dude's got some beautiful hands and can do some things. That trade's close for me. I hate leaning on this. If I'm going for a title, I can definitely see Nick Chubb, Ezekiel Elliott, and Mike Evans. I also know in 2 years I'm going to be upset when two-thirds of that trade is retired. And the other one is playing in, like, Atlanta, at 33. And he just had his first season where he didn't crack 1,000 yards. But if I win a title, I could still look at it and go, oh, I won a title at least.
Yeah, this is definitely two teams going opposite directions. You can clearly tell that from what's going on in this trade.
Yep. Yeah, and this is Russ kind of blowing up his TA9 team. He loved it when we came out of the startup, which was this year, but he's been very disappointed with the results. So there's another team where he's lost a lot. He's had Juju, he had Calvin Ridley, he had some other guy, I think, that underperformed. But I think this is close too. I think Chubb and Javonte are fairly close. It's probably a little favor in Javonte in terms of value. And I think Evans is probably not. I think the value is probably on the player side, the older player side, even though they're old. but I wanting to get all those pieces back. I think Javonte's value is also going to shoot through the roof, like we kind of talked about earlier after this season. I think you said, Justin, earlier that it's a little baked in already when Gordon, but I think we're going to double count it when Gordon's actually gone. Like, that's what we always do
as a community. Will.
Yeah. So
yeah, he'll go from, like, I don't know, he's probably somewhere in that RB 15 to 18 range of people's head. As soon as Melvin Gordon is gone, he's, and like, let's assume that they RB don't draft picks. Anybody significant, he's going to be in a top 12 RB easy.
Oh, easy. I think he's in the top 10. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll get to our last trade here. This one's TA10, and just a reminder to anybody listening and to you guys, if you don't know, TA10 is one that we started this year, Bosch's idea, where we drafted right at the beginning of the season, and this league is not starting until next year, so there are no points being scored.
Yeah, they ain't playing. They're just, you know, I don't know what's going on over here.
Torture. That's
right.
That's just,
it's like they're like, look at my team and what it could be. Someone out there has got like, someone out there drafted Christian McCaffrey and Derrick Henry, and they're like, what the F?
I mean, here's the thing, knowing that you couldn't use them this year, I would imagine they fell to at least the second.
Oh, they did. Maybe I'll look while we're talking about it. Yeah, there was some crazy stuff going on here, but I'm going to look it up while we're talking about the trade. So, so this is basically sort of like an off-season trade almost. It's basically purely value. Brandon Ayuk, we drafted exact draft picks, so we know where each pick is. So,
sure.
Brandon Ayuk and the 2022 109 for Trey Lance.
I want Trey Lance.
I do too.
This is super flex. We already know the 2022 class. Like, what am I? I'm getting Brandon Ayuk and the wide receiver two of the class, quarterback three of the class, running back four of the class. I'm not real great with math, so I don't know if that even adds up. But somewhere around that. And, you know, I like Ayuk, but not enough to do that. We still love Trey Lance's upside.
Yeah, we like, okay, I want Garrett Wilson and Brandon Ayuk or Trey Lance.
Yeah.
Like, give me
Trey. I got Carson Strong. Good for you.
Okay, so yeah, I'm with you guys there. I think, I mean, I'm not even a big Lance guy, but I mean the value is just too good. And he's another guy. He's just like Javonte Williams. Once Jimmy Garoppolo is actually gone, even though everyone knows Jimmy Garoppolo's, you know, worst case scenario, Jimmy Garoppolo makes it to week 18 this year, and then he's gone. We all know that, but he's still going to – his value is going to shoot up.
Yeah,
yep.
Just hey, in Rocky, case you
– you have a trade offer in the DC.
I do? Well, I'll get to that in a second. I was just going to go to what you guys said a minute ago. I did pull it up. McCaffrey actually did go at the 110.
That's
yeah.
That's where he should have gone. That's where he was going, basically.
Because this was a heavy, as all drafts were this offseason, heavy quarterback. I believe Russ panicked and drafted Mac Jones at like the 201 or something like that. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong one. That's why it's not 110. I'm looking at the wrong one. Anyway, what's the trade you offered, Justin? Have to bother. It was you, right? Yeah.
Yes, I offered you a trade. And okay, so you give me Christian McCaffrey. You give me your Jamar Chase and your first round pick.
Oh,
this is
in 2023. In 2023. I give you David Montgomery, Stephon Diggs, and Zach Ertz.
No.
Yeah, that's not enough. No, not with Jamar Chase in the mix. There,
you're an 11-1 team.
I'm 11-1 team with only so-so contributions from McCaffrey as it is.
Yeah, yeah. I was hoping that the Diggs production would outweigh what, because
if he was Diggs from 2020, but he hasn't been.
Man, he's been good. Chase has been the last 4 weeks has been a little bit but that's what I was hoping you would see. Like the last 4 weeks, I'm just rounding, 7, 13, 10, and 13.
Yeah, and I understand that. I need the world. Most people's wide receiver one. If you're going to throw Jamar Chase anymore.
You said you were going to sell
McCaffrey cheap. I'm not selling Jamar Chase.
You threw Jamar Chase and a first rounder in there.
Yeah, but I offered Diggs and Montgomery. Yeah, I know. I shoot my shot, guys.
Good try. Good effort.
I shouldn't even just said cheap, because then now I'm going to get offers like that. So, yeah. And Josh Jacobs. But I did pull up the correct draft just to like McCaffrey went at the 212.
Okay. Where'd Derrick Henry go? Just curious.
Derrick Henry went. Where the hell did Derrick Henry go?
Control F Henry.
Yeah, I guess I gotta do that. By the way, it's like I thought I could scroll and oh, it was too far down. 409.
Okay. All right.
Which I actually got him in a 412 and TA9 in a league that was playing this year.
You're playing this year, yeah. Yeah. Right.
That was done there in February, though.
Made. There were mistakes made.
Yeah, that was done in February when, you know, old guys are dead. So, and yeah, this is the draft. They're the top 13 picks, 14 picks for quarterbacks.
Yeah.
That's a Russ drafted Mac Jones at the 202. Tua went to the, any draft, the Tua at the 201.
I bet if you just start up this year, this offseason, that Henry goes by the 409.
What if you're drafting like, for, you know, 20.
For 2022, like this coming offseason, this number point scoring season coming up, someone will pick him before the 409 where he went in that in this draft that was a year early.
I feel I think he's going to be one of those guys that falls to the fifth and sixth round, and everybody wrings their hands about him falling to the fifth or sixth round, but nobody wants to actually draft him.
Yeah.
But see, last year it was like Josh Jacobs and Miles Sanders in the fifth and sixth round. You think he's going to be in that range this year? I don't know. I think there's always going to be one guy.
I can see it. There's guys like you that are out here salting on his name.
Yeah. Yeah. People definitely treated this like old guys, even. We're even more dead than usual. Adams made it to the 407.
That's a mistake to me.
Kelsey, you know, made Adam it to the 404.
I can understand that.
No, I can't.
Waller went ahead of him at 402.
That felt good.
There's 3 years of age difference there. There's 3 years of age difference.
Yeah, it made sense in the offseason, and then
it doesn't Waller's look great had right
his worst year in a few, but such is life, right?
And Pitts went at the 107. So I was wrong. It was 13 out of 14 quarterbacks.
Kyle Pitts at the 107. Look, I've seen him go.
And it wasn't to Bosch. Bosch is in this league, but he wasn't picked until 11. So somebody else picked him at the 107.
Wait, Bosch took a QB at 111?
He did. Joe Burrow.
Usually he likes to wait on some QBs. So
yeah, huh. I think he waited on his second, but he actually took Hurts at the 309.
Oops.
I do think he's starting.
Real quick, do you guys – I know that Hurts has looked better up until this past week. We still feeling good about Hurts for 2022 or no? I know two Eagles guys here. I want to hear.
I do. Yeah. I think this was just a bad game. I mean, if he continues to do this, maybe not. But I think this was just a bad game.
I think he's helped by the fact that this quarterback class isn't particularly strong. Yeah. In that every mock I've seen, the quarterback doesn't go off until like someone's actually forced by gunpoint to draft one. And I just pray that they don't trade for Russ Wilson or Deshaun because they'll just shoot their load on them. And well, that's not really appropriate. They'll end up using like four first round draft picks to trade for them, and they get nothing in return. I think. Hurts looked – he looked like he regressed this week, man. He looked as bad as he did. He's ever
– Agreed, but he did have about a month of looking solid. I mean, he wasn't when they Aaron Rodgers out there. But yeah, yes. But no, even when he was – they were not letting him throw a lot. But even when he was throwing, he was a lot, he was more accurate. He wasn't missing wide open guys like he had.
No, he was definitely better. This was like a bad game.
Is this going to end up being like a 2013, 2014, 2015 NFL quarterback draft? Like 2013, EJ Manuel was the best quarterback, the top, the first pick, you know. Christian in 2014, Ponder. It was Bortles, Bridgewater, Carr, Garoppolo. Manziel was mixed in there, so whatever. And then Winston, Mariota. I don't want to talk about the rest in 15.
Yeah.
Are we going to see that again in 2022?
Who knows? We think we will.
It might be.
It's just so hard to imagine them being that bad. But then you look back and you're like, man, those years were so lean.
But we knew it at the time. Like when teams were drafting Christian Ponders and players like that, we were like, oh, that's a bad idea. Like, what are you doing?
Winston one, though, I think Winston Mariota went one too, and I think people thought that was going to be better.
Yeah, well, I was going to say the Winston Mariota one was way different because we thought both of them were going to be good.
Yeah. And then they turned out to be duds.
Winston was okay. I mean, Winston would be good if he didn't throw it to the other team all the time.
But I mean, look, he was better with that this year. He was, he was good. He was very good. He's starter level quality for what do you call that team, New Orleans this year. Unfortunately, Taysom Hill's been signed to a $15 billion contract, so I guess he's out.
Okay. Starting in 2017, it got really nice for quarterbacks.
Yeah, we've been spoiled.
We got the Kyler, Lamar,
Josh Allen.
No, no, no. 2017 was Mahomes, Watson.
Oh. Yeah.
Trubisky. Yeah.
Tribs.
I'll skip over Trubisky, okay? But Mahomes and Watson, then you had the fivesome with Baker and Lamar and Josh Allen. And then we'll talk about Darnold and Rosen.
So that ended up just being
Darnold.
It seemed like every podcast I listened to loved Josh Allen.
I'm sorry, you're right. Yeah.
Everyone wanted to be Rosen. Wanted Rosen to be a thing for like 2 years after.
I did.
Like,
I did. I wasn't on a podcast at the time, but I did. I thought Rosen was going to be good. I thought he was going to be solid. I didn't think he was going to be like elite, but I thought he was going to be solid.
He's pro ready, and he's got a cannon for an arm. I'm all in.
Shouldn't he be Baker Mayfield? What the hell happened? And then it was Kyler, Daniel Jones, whatever. And then we know the rest.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So we're due for a dip.
Yeah.
I guess so. The NFL is due for a dip. You know, we can't always be getting.
It's curious. It's going to be interesting to see how these five pan out because it's the early returns are not great.
No, the early returns are god awful. Zach Wilson, I think, is the only one that we all knew was going to be bad and is bad. Mac Jones is playing a little better than we thought. I think everyone thought he was the most pro ready. I don't know that we knew he'd look this good. And then of course we thought Trevor Lawrence was just going to come out of the chute looking like a god.
People like to shit all over Tua. He's barely played over a season's worth of games and he's looked better than pretty much every quarterback in this class their rookie year. Look, in the games he's played,
Tua this year is averaging more points than Burrow in games that he has started and completed. Because he had, of course, the I think it was a week 2 injury in the week 10 where he came in and relieved Brissett. But otherwise, he's averaging nearly a point more per game than Burrow is right now. So everyone can kind of crap all over Tua, but he's been solid. You know, nothing to write home about. Like, okay, he's not, you know, the elite. You know, 25, 28 points a game, but it's nearly 20 a game right now.
Yeah. And he gets at least these first 2 years, he gets occasionally in the end zone on his feet, too. He's a little better with, you know, a little more mobile than I think people give him credit for. We'll finish this up. Larry in the chat just mentioned there's a big HQ trade. Our buddy Josh from the timeline traded Dalvin Cook for CEH 22nd and 23rd. I read that backwards. What do you guys think? You're both in the HQ. I'm not in there. What do you guys think of that one?
I like that trade for Josh. He's one of the four teams that's really good. Then there's a couple other of us that are just fighting to get into the playoffs. CEH has had his best 3-game run of his career. Of course, it was broken up by an IR stint, but whatever. And get a couple picks back. And we've already talked about Cook being a descending asset.
And he doesn't have to worry about, you know, whether Cook comes back or not now, you know.
And he doesn't have to try and trade for Madison from Larry.
Yeah.
The big deal.
Which is.
And that kind of ruins – Larry should be really upset about this because now he doesn't have any leverage because Alex is not competing. So he doesn't have any leverage for Madison at all now.
He's trading for Dalvin Cook for next year?
Yeah.
Or to flip him, I guess.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Look, it's an interesting league. We'll just say that. I did the same thing last year where I was out of it and I just started buying players that made no sense for my roster right then and there, like George Kittle, a couple other older guys that are no longer on my roster. Just with 16 teams, there's going to be a lot of trading. So it's more like if you're out of it, it's not just picks. It's just whatever assets I can get to try to make this team better. Especially when you're going to have to start 11 players, I think it is.
Yeah, I've heard both of you guys talk about this league. So, I've never been in a 16-team start 11, so I can only imagine.
Just offer Christian McCaffrey straight up for him. We'll see what happens.
For Cook.
Yeah, straight up.
That's right. You're one of those four good teams, right?
Yeah. Well, I was.
I don't know. Lost CMC.
Next year might be my year. I don't know. My IR is filled with guys. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm not worried about you.
Okay, so as Russ likes to say, that's the end of our show sheet. So that's the end of our show. I want to thank Justin. I want to thank you for subbing in for Russ here. Everyone, make sure you listen to Justin's pod, Dynasty Hot Sauce, with Larry, who's in the chat. And Shane, definitely want to thank you for coming on this week and give you a chance to tell everyone where they can find you and plug all your stuff.
Oh, well, you can find me writing for Dynasty League Football. Because even though I'm not a member of the family podcast, I am a writer for them. also, redraft stuff for Fantasy Data, Dynasty Trades HQ podcast, Fantasy Intervention on Wednesday nights, Dynasty Trades in 5, just about every day of my life, YouTube channel. Check it out. Subscribe. If you've got 5 minutes, we've got trades for you. And then Manic and Chill with my guy, Scott Connor, which we do as frequently as we can.
Yeah, so Shane literally does nothing but Dynasty.
All day, every day.
He's either potting or writing or making trades or setting lineups, I think. Okay, so I'll just finish up with some of our business. I am Rocky Petrella, Dynasty FF Addict. You can follow me there. Follow Trade Addicts at Trade Addicts Pod and the DAP Network at DAP_network. Also, follow Justin at Run. Is there an underscore in there somewhere?
Nope.
Okay, sure. At Run DFF. I knew it, but I was worried I was missing something. At Run DFF. And, of course, follow Russ at Dynasty Outhouse. Make sure you could be in the chat with guys like Larry and watch our beautiful faces. If you subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod, go do that. And FF Pod Shirts, that's storeenvy.com. You can get merch for Trade Addicts, for Timeline, for anything on the DAP Network. I know there's some other pods in there, but I can't think of them right now. Sorry, Russ. Is hot sauce in there, Justin? We should get hot sauce in there if there's not.
We might be a little too explicit for that.
Okay. and everything, every purchase there goes to charity. I believe it's still Fantasy Cares, Toys for Tots, for the rest of the year, I believe Russ said. So I think that's everything I'm supposed to mention. So I'm going to say good night, guys. Good night, Shane. Good night, Justin.
Good night.
Good night.